Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I've been listening to hear Adam is rare voice that really can make you think and you really listen to him.
Word. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. I want to thank MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. Get 10 bucks off your first order. Boy, do they got everything there. Marsh Clark Investigates, the first 48, Thursdays, 9 o'clock, A&E, and of course, Geico. Geico.com, save 50% more on car insurance. Lillian Garcia, thank you, baby. Good to see you again.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Chasing Glory is the name of the podcast. You get an Apple Podcast or Podcast One, and then the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale.
Yeah.
This Sunday, April 8th. On pay-per-view, and you're going to be doing the ring announcing.
Yes.
I'd love to hear all about it. I just watched the Andre the Giant sneak preview of that doc with all the notables there.
Yes.
And it sort of made me think about wrestling, and then they had the WrestleMania 3 at the Pontiac Silverdome, and 91,000 people, and... So tell me about this. Where's it taking place?
In New Orleans. And so we're going back. It's so much fun.
And how big is women's wrestling?
Well, let me tell you something. Right now, it is off the charts. It's amazing. And what's so great and what's happening right now is that the women are getting treated exactly like the men. And what I mean by that is there has been now the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. There's been the first ever Hell in the Cell match, the first ever Elimination Chamber match. I mean, you name it, the women are doing it and they're crushing it. And now they have, because forever there's been the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and so now there's the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. So,
you know, it's a good barometer of the popularity of women's wrestling is my wife, who grew up no interest in wrestling whatsoever, is now all in because of Total Bellas and Total Divas.
Yeah.
Like the reality show angle is the way, like, in to, yeah. to
well, women a general women interest. Are they're more flexible than men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're meaner. Nobody knows that they're meaner because they give away 70 pounds to us, so they don't exercise as much. But my wife's much meaner than I am. Like, it's a pretty simple equation. I've always said it. If you're like on a subway or something, or if you step on a woman's foot, her hand will come flying out. Like, she'll smack you.
Instant
and
reflexes.
If you step on a dude's foot, he'll go, hey, dude, choose you, or whatever. But yes, I think women are meaner.
We have more passion, I would say. Yeah.
If you ever see women,
want to call it.
If you ever see two women that are ready to fight, you know, on the club of a sidewalk out front of a club or whatever, they always get into it much faster than guys. Like, I feel... their impulse control is lower than dudes. And I think it's because if you're 200 pounds and you could really smash someone's orbital socket, you're going to spend a lot of time in court and in prison and you're going to lose your house and whatever. It's sort of the difference between a gun and a taser, which is, you got a taser, you just go around zap everyone in the office.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Cousin Sal did that on The Man Show. I don't know. Someone should test this. I really do think women are meaner than men, are more apt to physically throw something out quicker.
We have we just definitely ingrained have those impulses of just taking care of ourselves, and it's defense.
Throwing a dish.
You didn't. Even if you look, if somebody, you know, the wrong way or something, it's like, oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Back to the bar fight analogy, if you're lucky enough to see a girl bar fight, you don't see a lot of come at me, bro.
Lucky
like
enough.
Their version of, you know,
right.
Come on, what's up? What's up? Come on, throw down. Let's go. Oh, no. Quick to the fight.
Straight for the hair.
Quick to the fight.
That's it.
Yeah. No, guys do a lot of posturing.
Yeah.
Women just go at it.
What's up, bro?
Right.
Not a lot of that.
Yeah. You don't even really have, I'm trying to think, because you know, like guys do that. Come on, step to me, bro. Come on. It'd be worst day of your life, but try it. Cobb McGraw, bro. Like, step to it. There's always 10 minutes of that before somebody breaks it up, but it never started. I think women just go for the hair.
Just go for it.
I started coming away. I started thinking about My racist thought is that's why a lot of black women like the hair extensions.
Oh, they come right out.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Earl Campbell used to run up to Tearaway Jersey. It's like
it's like a lizard with a tail. You know, a predator gets his tail.
No, that would be racist.
Okay. Well, cut that out.
She goes for the hair.
The Earl Campbell reference. It's not racist.
She goes for the hair, pulls off a big half a weave, and then you go upside her head.
And you're left holding a bunch of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, do Jewish women use a lot of hair extensions? No, they don't.
Not
generally.
Do
they scrap in front of nightclubs?
No.
Well, there's your answer.
You we'll get you back
there's
in the
There's your
will.
Answer.
It's a wonderful
it's
do it's Asian.
A long
gun. A long play.
They wear your soul out. Yeah. Do the Asian women do
Far
a lot of
it.
Hair
really.
Extensions? Nope. They do a lot of scrapping in front?
No. Nope.
All right.
Well, I represent the Latinas, and we do.
That's what I'm saying. No, but you guys also go with the hair extensions as well.
Mira, no me mires mal. Yo te digo, oye.
Well, they go with those big nails. They go with the big acrylic nails. I can stick them right in your neck and then pull off.
Like Wolverine.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's coming up.
Yes,
that's
Sunday.
And you're doing the announcement. Where is Ronda Rousey in this?
She's going to have her own match. Her and Kurt Angle are teaming up against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah.
We're talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be nice. And it's amazing how, it's crazy that, you know, wrestling was like huge in the 50s and then it kind of went away and then it got massive again in the 80s and then it kind of dipped a little and then it got big. But you would never think, like, I'm trying to think of those things where you'd go, like, no one ever says, well, Blockbuster Video's poised for a comeback, gentlemen. Like, I don't think people are going to want to go into a video store
right.
and rent videos and then bring them back. Like, there's certain things where you go, it's not coming around.
Right.
It's not coming around next month or ever.
Forever.
It is gone. Daddy gone. Like, you know, when there's certain, I'm trying to think who is, Pontiac.
Right.
Pontiac hasn't released a good product in like 47 years and nobody's clamoring for a Pontiac right. comeback and no. nobody expects it and there shouldn't be one. Wrestling would be one of those things where you'd go, well, after we got the Octagon and the serious cage fighting and all that's going on with football, all the other sports and everything that's going on and all the X Games and everything like that, like, we don't need the guys faked out running around in their underpants anymore. Bigger than ever.
Bigger than ever. But you will understand it when you're there, when you're in. I mean, it's just an energy that you can't take away. It's unbelievable. And the great part about it is that the audience is part of the show as well. They learn the catchphrases. They bring the signs, the banners, all of that. They bring the energy. And WrestleMania, what's so amazing is that it brings everybody from all over the world. That's what's so great. And that's why it's so crazy, too. I mean, you've got people literally from all over the world that are in there. And then the day after is the biggest Monday Night Raw of the year. And that itself, if you see it on TV, it's everyone's losing their minds.
The thing that's always been funny about American wrestling, I think Japan wrestling's big.
Huge.
In Japan. I'm trying to think where else. But we represent the world by having a bunch of wrestlers pretend to be from somewhere else. But they're not.
Oh,
but it's still awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love the Russian guys. I don't know where
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Is he from the Fresno area?
I'll go deep on the 80s wrestlers.
Where's
Nikolai
everyone
Volkov,
from?
Yeah. He's from Tacoma.
Yeah. Where's Iron Sheik?
He was actually from the Middle East. I watched the documentary on him. Sheik. He's from Lebanon or something, right?
And such a nice guy.
Yeah, something like that.
Still going strong. All right.
You know what's similar to wrestling, the similar path is Legos. Like, Legos was a big toy in the 50s.
Yes.
And then
right.
was kind of this lame thing that was just kind of around during my childhood.
Like, step on.
I didn't want Legos. I wanted Star Wars or Transformers or something. And all of a sudden, Legos are bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
They have co-branded everything. They're the toy that every kid must have.
And also,
who saw that comeback coming?
No, that's a perfect example, Bald Brian.
I'm out of here.
Because
so long, guys.
You would look at that and go, hey, no, amusement parks, movies, franchises,
right. things
not
light
to mention.
Up and blow up
and everyone would just look at that. No, I mean, at a Lego, if you're talking about bringing it back, and people just look at it and go, no, that's not, no one's going to be, there's not going to be a movie, there's not going to be an amusement park, and my kid is not going to want to play with these stackable bricks.
Right.
But here they are.
Yeah, they are. Yep. I would love to see a WWE literally an amusement park. Oh. Think about it.
It should
be,
right?
The Undertaker ride or the Rock ride. Or yeah.
There should at least be the WWE Cafe like they did with the hot models in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like or Harley Davidson or whatever. They always do it. It always strikes me, though. It's like, how good could that steak be at the Harley Davidson themed restaurant? Like,
that's a good point.
Actually, they had one because I worked at it a lot in New York City. It's now the Hard Rock Cafe, but there was the WWE restaurant.
Really? Oh, there was?
In Times Square. And I would host a lot of events there and state of the art, like sound system, and the bands would come in. It was amazing. The problem was that people, our fans, would come in and they wouldn't buy anything. Yeah. And they would just be there. And so, you know, I mean, the restaurant was phenomenal. Literally great food.
Welcome to the WWE Cafe!
Yeah, I think that that's probably a lot of it, is that they would come in and they'd watch the bands and everything, but wouldn't
purchase
money. It's expensive to have it in Times Square.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, having a steak there feels like, well, maybe we could find a better steak in Mastro's. Mm. That's just me. I'll tell you about MedMen if you were in California or Nevada. Again, it's an exciting time. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry and empowering people to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience. All MedMen stores feature a wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. Find out what's best for you. They have like a concierge, and they will tell you. Everyone there is coached up and they're trained. You go in there, you tell them what you're looking for, and they will set you up. Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID can come in. You don't need to have a doctor with you or a note or anything like that. Providing the highest quality and safety. Don't have to worry about what you're buying. You check it out. They have their 8 locations. They're all over. They're opening more all the time. But right now, they're L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and Vegas. So you go to MedMen.com. Find the nearest store, MedMen.com, and make sure you let them know you heard it here on the Adam Carolla Show, and you get $10 off your first order. Dawson.
Exclusively for our listeners, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Yes, Brian.
Lillian, please tell me that the items were themed and named after wrestlers at the Wrestling Cafe in Times Square.
Well, they had
did they have Brutus the Barber cheesecake?
That's the only thing that I will have to say. They had a lot of cages all around. Like, yeah. Well, when I say that fencing, they had fencing around. What I really wanted to see was memorabilia.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah, you would think that, and they didn't have that. Oh. So I don't know if they maybe were thinking that people would actually steal it or something. I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
Hulk Hoagie.
We should do...
Nachos.
We should do... I think we should get past the Rotten Tomatoes game. I think we should just take a break, come back, and do the news with Gina Grant.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
In Madison, Wisconsin, at the Capitol Theater on April 6th.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material. Just added, Cleveland, May 17th. Detroit, May 18th.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Adam Carolla.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Not Taco Bell Material. And don't miss The Adam Carolla Show live, April 21st in Santa Ana, California. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gina Grant. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a 13-year-old Los Angeles boy is alive and well after spending 12 hours trapped underground in the city's sewer system. So Jesse Hernandez was playing with friends at Griffith Park, which is around here. It has mountainous hiking trails, and it's in L.A., when he fell through some wooden planks placed over an access portal and plunged 25 feet into a river of sewage below. The other kids immediately told their parents. They called 911. Rescuers then spent 12 hours searching the maze-like network of pipes until some cameras finally spotted some handprints on the side of a pipe. So crews rushed to the area, which was less than a mile away from where he disappeared, opened a manhole. They heard the boy calling for help and lowered a hose about 11 feet. Jesse grabbed onto it and was reeled back up. He received immediate medical care, was given a thorough cleaning.
Rescuers say
it's incredible that he survived at all.
How much is this going to cost us?
I'm going to put a sign next
kid
to it.
Kid wandering around the park, fell through the thing. There's going to be a big fat lawsuit, right?
I don't know how much time you spend in Griffith, but they have tons of those like little like sheds and like water containers and things like that. And it is very clearly posted that you are not to trespass. So
they have the old abandoned zoo up there, the original LA zoo, which is creepy. up and weird and creepy. Abandoned zoos are really weird.
Mm-hmm. We took Tessa to the zoo for the first time on Saturday.
Yeah, it's nice.
At the abandoned zoo?
No, this is the real zoo. Oh. There are animals and people.
Yeah, although the people are the scariest in the world.
It was quite
the LA zoo.
As I said to Christy, this is quite a swath of humanity.
It's a lot of like walking up those hills behind the chick with the calf tattoo, and her calves are huge, and like
a lot of calf tattoos,
and lots of weird tats, and just scary, scary people. I don't know why the zoo brings out the scariest of all the people. And then
the animals are pleasant.
Then the reason I had to stop going is they had the churro hut, and they have like 14 different kinds of churros.
Filled churros.
I'm not down with that. But no father wants to see his son sucking on a cream-filled churro, just gnawing
just
away at it, just massaging the balls, just going hard at the tip, you know.
I don't think it was a churro. It was. Huh? I mean, most churros I've had.
No, that dude had a churro in his pants. For sure.
I don't think he was in a churro.
He wouldn't have been dressed like someone who works there if that wasn't a churro.
All right. I stand corrected. I wasn't there. So, sorry.
He wouldn't have called my son sport over and over again and then had an official van that was primered, but being painted to be an official van if he wasn't an employee.
Yeah, I guess not. It doesn't add up that way.
Yeah.
Must have been a churro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
That must have been a good churro.
Mm-hmm. And, by the way, I wasn't going to get into this now because it's still breaking and updating and they're figuring it out. But a shooting up at YouTube headquarters in Northern California. And I believe the headline was just 4 people injured, a woman with a self-inflicted wound, a gunshot wound. So I don't know if this is a female shooter, but we'll have more details on that tomorrow. But that was breaking on the way in.
Wait, there's a shooting, but it's a woman with a self-inflicted?
Well, it's update. I'm getting these updates as they come. There was a shooting with almost no information.
Shooter's dead, so says.
And it was a woman, correct, Chris?
Yes, yep. Dead woman, apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Wow. I'm not counting that as a shooting.
Well, no, she killed her boyfriend, I read.
Oh.
Is that what it was?
That's what I read.
So far, there's four people.
I don't know why is information in 2018 so difficult? Like every time there's a shooting, it's like they're 14 dead. Oh no, it's 6.
Well,
you know, or like whatever. Like I feel like if you're there and it's YouTube, for Christ's sake, you know, it's not some remote Alaskan whatever, and some chick comes up and she shoots her boyfriend and then puts a gun in her mouth. There are a handful of people with cell phones and stuff like that.
It just
should be the story. Like, he's dead, she's dead, she killed him, and then she kills herself. It's like 7 hours later, like, it's still unclear what's going on. Like, I get it. Like, when you're in Florida and the bridge collapses, we're not sure how many people are under the bridge or how many people would have been. Well, there's one car, but we don't know if there are 3 people in it or 1 person. Right. And like, I get it. We got to clear out this thing or send the dogs in or whatever it is. But these kinds of situations, why is it always so like, we don't know?
Well, when on the way in, all the news outlets had to go on was some guy who claimed to be in one of the buildings tweeting. So that's what the news outlets were reporting. So like we're just going on this guy's tweet right now. So there is a lot of really vague and general information until somebody official starts
talking. Max Bat, I want something official. Yeah. What do you got?
All I have is, yeah, female shooter, white, dead, three wounded.
Oh. Three wounded?
Yeah. Mm.
So she wasn't going after her boyfriend.
Yeah. Let me see.
I was telling you, women are mean. Guys never do any shooting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's always women.
Oh, really?
I'm not done.
You guys,
you go into the workplace, you go into schools, like, you go into the town square, and you just start shooting everyone.
Yeah.
And if you got, this is really, it's less about guns, more about women. There should be a march. We should get that.
We should call it the Women's March.
Yeah, where's that hog kid? We need some choice words for you ladies. Have you ever seen a more composed 17-year-old in your planet? Or a more self-assured?
He's very poised.
I didn't have that indignant gear when I was 17 or composed or self-assured or anything. I'd be like, hey, what's hi? How are you? Okay. Oh, my God. What are we on a date? Today's show? I got to see you guys on TV. This is crazy. By the way, thanks for the free food. That was awesome, man. I got those, I just got like 18 granola bars to put in my backpack. I'll control. What are we talking about?
Oh, shooting at your school.
Yeah. No, not for that.
How did it affect
but
you?
But I love those granola bars.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks
for
coming.
Yeah, man. Hey, what's a booby feel like?
So were any of your friends injured in the shooting?
Oh, some of them, I guess.
And
could feel a booby while eating a freaking olive oil, that would be so awesome, man.
Okay, back to you, Bob.
I want to start a website. I want to do a podcast. I got an idea for an app.
Information's still trickling in.
It gets people free appetizers. Uh-huh. It's an app. It just tells you like what good are appetizers.
What were the gunman's last words?
Hey, you know, they talk about wrestling as being fake. It's not. Those are athletes. He is the most composed 17-year-old I've ever seen in my life. Mm. And he's like, he's on the charge.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Got a lot of sponsors pulled from Laura Ingraham's show.
It's crazy. I got to tell you, the thing is this, everybody, sponsors and beyond. Children are our future, but not until they hit about 35. You shouldn't listen to them when they're 17. Yeah. They don't have a lot at that age. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All right. Well, we'll have more about that tomorrow.
Shooter dead. So another chick shooter, or what happened?
Oh, that's all they're saying. I mean, these things could change completely in the next few hours. Everyone's real quiet about it usually while it's happening.
Get the official word.
I feel like we should know.
I thought that too. I remember when I saw the Vegas shooting, they were like, for hours, like I was watching that thing till like 4 a.m. in the morning. They would just say, oh, there's at least two confirmed dead, three confirmed dead. Yeah. And we know how many, like, it was crazy.
That, in that sense, I think they're trying to alert family before they release the information publicly.
But as alluded to earlier in the week, like, well, him and his wife went on surveillance recon runs to the Pulse nightclub. Once they got the floor layout, or nothing. Right. Yeah. It's like, all this? What's all the misinfo?
Yeah, they're just trying to get as much as they can, like, make it timely, but I don't know how accurate this is yet. It's developing.
I'm from the area. There's a local station called KRON, and they're reporting, sources tell KRON4 that a woman shot and killed her boyfriend.
All right.
Does it help that you're from the area?
Well, okay, to say KRON4, people don't know what that is.
Okay.
So local
how
station.
Dare you? Yeah. I bet Brian was more like that hog kid when he was 17.
Oh, yeah. Very composed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, New York City Council member Rafael Espinal proposed a bill on March 22nd called Disconnect from Work, which would ensure that once you leave the office at the end of the day, you have the right to not be disturbed with work communications. The bill would actually make it illegal for employers with more than 10 employees to require employees to access work-related electronic communications, like emails and texts outside
of work hours. This is some millennial shit.
Oh, it gets better. To make sure employers comply, the bill suggests hefty fines, like a $250 fine for each instance of requiring an employee to check their email after work
Where's
hours.
Where's this guy from?
New York.
He should move to Japan so he can witness himself being beaten to death. They would just beat him to death with these kinds of ideas.
And in Asia, it's a sign of working hard when you fall asleep at your desk. It's like a badge of honor.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not going to fly in
New
York.
It's kind of like burping after you eat.
Right.
It's respectful there.
Right.
Yeah.
You can also be fined $500 to $2,500 for retaliating against an employee for asserting their right under this bill. The Disconnect from Work bill was inspired by a similar law in France.
We should get this puss together from the coast. We get this pushed together with the asshole judge who wants to put the warning labels on the coffee.
Oh.
And just, you guys can start your own puss planet where you just legislate everything. Here's the deal. You have to leave people alone to work together, mm-hmm. and you don't want people not working outside of the workplace because it stunts their growth from within the workplace. Or weekends or what have you. Right. You know, like Mike August, our agreement is we both work when we work. It's never not this day or not that
Between
time.
Nine
it's
and
just
five.
There's time to work and then time not to work. Everyone can choose, but that's how you get. That's how you move on.
Absolutely, you know, Christy kicks ass at her job. She's constantly checking emails, sending emails, doing calls at 5 a.m. or 8 p.m. because she has clients all over the world. Yeah, sometimes you have to work outside of work hours. Yeah. That's how you get ahead, and that's how you kick ass.
I completely agree, and you know, hefty fines for those. It's like all you're doing is stunting. We always talk about this kind of. It's unintended consequences. When you do all the wrongful termination things because you hired a black person or you hired a woman, and then people are going to stop. They're going to be careful about hiring mm-hmm. black folks or women. They're going to be careful because they don't want to get sued. And then it's not going to end up being better for those people. It ends up making it worse. Bigger picture. Like all, you know, a lot of this affirmative action shit. It doesn't work big picture. It's all great. Oh, let's get some black kids into Harvard, but not if they're not going to do well there. They end up flunking out because they shouldn't be going to Harvard. They should be going to Cal State Fullerton or something and then excelling. So all the stuff you try to legislate is great, except for the employer's going to stop talking to employees on weekends or after whatever, and they're going to stop advancing. It's just leave everyone alone and let them get to work. I get it. We can't, you know, inspect the meat factories and the poultry factories and make sure there's no doors chained up, but
right.
fire exits. But we're all kind of in the place now where there are no more hours anymore.
That's true.
There's just work mm-hmm. to be done.
Well, and one of the things I thought of was so many people work from home now in satellite mm-hmm. offices. There's so much flexibility. Don't get involved. You know, people know what they're doing. They're working from home. They work at 10 o'clock at night. They're doing what they have to do to make it work.
Yeah, because I always think, too, if you're one of those employees that doesn't like to work those after hours, go get a different job.
Sure.
You know?
Which are
well,
available
also,
by it, right?
Yeah, listen, the man. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about protecting everybody all the time. People can leave.
Right.
You know, like they go, oh, what's up with McDonald's, man? They only pay $8.75 an hour. That should be $15. But don't work there.
You're welcome.
Exactly. Just don't work there.
Apply
then. If you don't want to work there, then don't work there.
And there are jobs that are strictly 8 to 5. If you want that, go to the DMV. Or
sure.
Go. There are plenty of those jobs.
Plenty of breaks.
Yes. Let people figure out what they want to do.
I got a challenging question for you.
Yes.
At what point in a child's development do we start to because I agree with you that or I see your point of view about the homework being so oppressive these days. At what point do we start to introduce that so we don't breed a generation of, hey, man, I'm off the clock. I did school 8 to 4.
Good question.
I'm not
mm-hmm.
doing homework.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Good question.
Because
mm-hmm.
you need to bridge that
slippery
gap at
slope
some
guy.
Point. Well, you do. You need to bridge that gap at some point. Otherwise, you're breeding a generation of, hey, man, I was there for 8 hours.
Because back when we were in high school and middle school, the only kids that didn't have homework, and I remember this very clearly, were the kids at a school called Skyline, where there was babysitting services and they had kids, and they don't have homework.
That's the cool high school with the beanbag ashtrays out on the picnic table. Like, what school is that? Yeah, we had one called Amelia Earhart. Mm-hmm. You know, they always give it some highfalutin name.
Sure.
And it's always a bunch of kids like smoking and talking about GEDs and everyone by the first name and he's cool guy and they never work. They're kind of like it's kind of like this agreement where look, you don't want to go to high school, we don't want to teach you, you're not going to do anything, but we have a little holding pin here. Yeah, once you turn your head to the smoking part. You're like, all right, we get it. We just come in and smoke. Just sit there and smoke. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get out of here in a few semesters. And then we can put you on the books as graduated. You can put on the books as graduated. And there's really nothing. Dawson?
Ours was called Olympic High School.
Yeah, it was.
And that's as close as any of them ever got to the Olympics.
So the homework bridging the gap to that working world.
Here's what I would say. I would say I never did homework ever. And I'm comfortable with the notion of working whenever. I would say that with the new world order of people working from home and computers, and also if you're going globally, there's all the different timelines and everything, right. And Chrissy's got to deal with that. So I would say we should have a system, and that system should be, here's the assignment. Now, I would recommend doing it while you're here at school because you're kind of on the clock. But if you don't want to do it while you're sitting here at your desk, right. You may turn it. That's come in on Monday.
Right.
You
can either way, it's coming in.
You're going to sit here and finish all your assignments here. And if you choose not to do it, then you can get in that flexible thing of go home and finish your assignment and do what have you. But I think in terms of coaching people up and training them for what the future holds.
Yeah, that's more practical for the working world.
Yes, just here's the work you got to do. You can do it. I don't know. Chris Maxipata gets a fair bit of work over here. Matt does. I don't know that anyone cares where they're doing it. Mm. Yes?
Yeah, I can do it. I do it at home. I do it here. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
He does it at the club. All right. What else we got?
Well, speaking of work, according to a new survey, 85% of all jobs are filled because of networking. That means people who reach out and maintain personal relationships have a huge advantage of those who ignore their networking. And all this networking is much more effective when it's done at a time when things are going well, waiting until disaster strikes like layoffs or things like that, and then looking for favors don't work.
I can tell you that everything... Funny, never had this conversation with anybody in my family or any of the teachers over at the esteemed Amelia Earhart Academy attached to North Hollywood High. It's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. Who do you know and what can they do? And then what, more importantly, what can you do for them? Right. I sent Jimmy Kimmel an email today saying, hey, we got this K-Rock doc we're pitching around. And if you were in the room for these pitch sessions, it would go a lot easier.
He wrote back, who dis?
And you got to have relationships, yeah. Man. You have to have. No one ever talks about relationships. They talk about, oh, it's who you know. It's not who you know. It's who likes you,
right.
And who you know.
Yeah.
It's not who you know. You have to maintain a relationship with this person. You have to do things for them.
You know, that's interesting. Just talking about schoolwork and the things that we teach in school, we had communications, which was basically how to stand up and give a speech and make eye contact with people. But why don't they throw in now, especially in 2018, communications and networking? Mm-hmm. So kids understand how to look people in the eye, how to retain somebody's name, how to capitalize on a relationship.
It is if you really distill your life down to its essence, it's relationships. It's you calling people, emailing people, talking to people, knowing people and saying, here's what I'd like. What would you like? Mm-hmm. Or what can I do for you? And what I'd like you to do for me. And it all just it just boils down to a relationship.
Yep.
That's all any of this is. And that's all success is. I'm sure if you got hold of super successful people, they just tell you have a bunch of really good relationships and connections and whatevers. And that's it.
Well, and
that's it.
That's so true, because if you have this, come to someone with a great idea, but that person doesn't trust you, then your idea is never going to get off the ground. They're never going to work with you.
It's just all relationships.
I also love the fact, though, what you said, in that you have to be the one as well giving.
Sure.
Because a lot of people show up going, what can you do for me?
Right.
And what can I do for you? But they don't think about, what am I able to do for you?
What do I bring to the table?
And I'm telling you, like, I even went to an event just recently and I thought, okay, what can I get out of this to help me? Yada, yada. But it wasn't even about meeting somebody personally. It was an organization. But then all of a sudden I met this girl that I was like, oh, I could totally help her. And I started connecting her, and I felt so much better about doing that. I didn't get anything from the event from me, but it did feel great to help her.
Totally.
And I think that's the thing that people are missing, too.
And it is not, it's not a clear path. It's not that kind of thing where you go to the Home Depot and you say to the Latino dude, hey, man, can you come to my house and stack cinder blocks for free? And he goes, no. I'll do it for 20, and you go, will you take 15? Like, that's a straight-on thing.
Mm-hmm.
These other things we're talking about are just long, drawn-out relationships, years and years and years. And sometimes you do two things in a row, and then sometimes they do a couple of things. And and also, there is no knowing. You don't know what that young girl's going to be doing in 5 years, and
right.
You don't know what you did and how it affected her and what she's thinking about and so on and so forth. Hollywood is just one big relationship. That's all it is. It just is. And you get the feeling that the Judd Apatows of the world seem to have really good relationships with tons and tons of people. And thus he's super fruitful because of his relationships. And Jimmy's exact same way. All right. Let me tell you about a relationship you should have. See that transition? Marcia Clark investigates the first 48. New original docuseries, new episodes Thursdays, 9 p.m. on A&E. Marcia Clark delves into some of America's most shocking unsolved crimes and controversial verdicts. Each two-hour episode explores a different investigation, taking an in-depth look at the first 48 after the crime to uncover new revelations and angles. Controversial murder cases include Casey Anthony's daughter, Kaylee. Where is she, in prison? Is Casey Anthony in prison?
Dawson says no.
She's free, right?
Yeah,
she never got put in prison.
She was not convicted.
She never went
never
in.
Was. No.
Oh, man, I love when women get outraged. Chandra Levy. It's so hot when you guys are outraged. Chandra Levy, Robert Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley, Run DMC's Jam Master Jay, Drew Peterson's wife. That's, remember her with the bathtub? Thursdays at 9 o'clock on A&E. It's Marcia Clark Investigates First 48. All right, what else we got?
Well, the new viral condom snorting challenge is every parent's worst nightmare.
Oh, no.
Now, there's footage. Do you want to see it or not?
No.
It's pretty gross.
I don't like bones broken and things snorted and spat out through one's mouth.
I couldn't agree more.
Kids have been doing this since time immemorial, though, right? Like, I remember kids
with
like
strings
floss and
yeah, it's disgusting. Worms. Well, here's the deal.
Worms?
Chris.
I've seen people deal with worms.
Oh,
you're disgusting. This is an outrage.
Philippines.
So viral videos posted on social media show teens snorting condoms. Here's how they do it.
Oh.
In the videos, which we're not going to watch, teens unwrap a condom and put it up one of their... Sorry, this is gross. Put it up one of their nostrils and inhale it until the condom comes out their mouth.
You're making a strong argument in the blowjob department right now. Talking about a condom and gagging.
I just got thick throat. While kids may think the snorting challenge...
This may affect March Gradness, fellas.
Oh, it'll be just
fine. She literally has a gag reflex talking about condoms.
The last two guys just dropped down.
Mike's still in.
All right.
All right. Well, kids may think the snorting challenge goes without consequences. Anything that goes up your nose other than prescribed nasal sprays can damage the sensitive inner lining of your nose, cause allergy reactions, infections. It could also get stuck in the nasal cavity or the throat and cause you to choke. Please don't do this.
God.
Now, if you can do it and blow a huge condom bubble.
Oh, that's cool. Like Howie Mandel style.
Then that's a totally different... That is a different dog and pony show. I'm for that.
You sure you don't want to see the video?
Is there a bubble involved? Oh, if there's a bubble involved, I may be apt to see this.
All right.
Yeah. Suck it up.
Interesting.
Oh, I see. It's all a big blow thing. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
See, this is what happens when the kids don't have homework to do.
Oh, no.
This is it.
Again, this is why we're number one, because we're trying to amuse ourselves in between birth and death now by eating packets of Tide and taking condoms. You know, everyone else is going, we got to dig another well because the gourd broke and we can't carry the water anymore. And we're like, hey, we got a bunch of junk we're going to eat and throw away.
The thing we're dumping on Africa by the gross and begging them to use, we're blowing bubbles at our throat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if this has been a big deal for Sonny and Natalia, but I immediately thought of you when I saw this. It seems the worst sports on the field aren't kids. It's the parents, because apparently there's a nationwide shortage of youth referees. And according to Today.com, it's attributed to instances of verbal and even physical abuse from volatile parents and coaches. So according to the National Federation of State High School Associations, 80% of high school refs are quitting before their third year, and they're having real problems with recruiting anyone to do the job. In many states, games are being canceled or postponed due to lack of refs. In South Carolina, for example, 70% of new officials in youth soccer don't return after their first year. Nega, I assume. Brian, please.
Oh, please. Well, there's a few things that are probably going to happen. I'm guessing you could probably officiate lacrosse, even though I've never seen a
water polo.
I've never seen an official on a field.
Yeah, do they get on the field?
And evidently, there are no rules in lacrosse. You're like, I've seen the highlights. They get the ball, they run as far as they want the stick, then they run behind the goal, then they go back the other way, and then the guy just shoves the whole stick and the ball in, and everyone starts celebrating. So maybe they don't have rules.
It might not be. Conquer lacrosse. There's no rules.
There's no refereeing going on. But if you think about, well, let's just do the math here. You take a sport like football. Mm-hmm. They say a lot of people aren't letting their kids play football these days. Mm-hmm. Okay. So football ends up becoming sort of like boxing, which is who boxes. Well, as I said, lots of Irishmen, lots of Jews, lots of Italians, turn of the century. Now, not so many Jews. Dusting of Irishmen and maybe a dusting of Italians, but not really.
The numbers are very different.
Not really. So football is probably going to go the way of boxing. Just poor people from the wrong side of the tracks, because who else, the guys whose dads are, you know, Wall Street guys, mm-hmm. aren't going to let their kids be concussed over and over again. Yep. In which case, you're going to draw a certain element out to the stadium, and those folks might be a little more vocal.
We've seen the real sports segments on the referees literally getting attacked at games.
And even the documentary you and I watched, Trophy Kids.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, those are parents that just, they see red when they know
also,
their kid's been
people,
wrong.
There's a thing going on, which is the smarter you are, or the whatever, the more religious or the more whatever. There's two things that keep you in line, really. It's being very smart and or being super religious. Okay. Now, I don't like religious people per se, but it keeps you kind of in line, which is, I'll just bet you when you do that Southwest flight and there's a person that just kicks off the flip-flops and puts the feet, sorry for spinning on
you. That's cool.
Puts the feet up on the bulkhead and starts dancing around that way. I'll just bet you that's not a super smart person or a super religious person. That's just I live in my own world person. I'm going to the Starbucks. I'm taking my dog. I'll put it on the table. It can set its ass down on the table. I'll put my feet up on another chair barefoot and I'll just sit here for 9 hours.
Yeah, like, and lounge.
Okay, so people used to be kind of kept in line by like either being smart, religion, society, like something. There was a thing, a hierarchy, like something mm-hmm. was built around us. That thing stops you from having big blowout arguments with your old lady, like in the park or just in front of people. Like nobody, it's not what you do. Everyone takes a shit. Everyone wipes their ass. Everyone kicks their foot off. Everyone has sex with the old lady and vice versa.
It's a hell of a Southwest flight.
Everyone. That's why you got to sit by the exit next to the wings. You get that extra space to nail the old lady. Everyone does everything. The question is, everyone picks their nose. Everyone does whatever the unmentionables are. Everyone does them. The question is, where do you do them and who do you do them in front of? Well, in the past, we didn't do anything in front of other people.
Right.
Now we do almost everything in front of other people.
Yeah.
And that then is going to lead to a lot of refs getting yelled at and people doing things where you go like, oh my God, don't you hear yourself? Like, isn't this embarrassing? Like you're standing up and screaming like a banshee in front of all. No, they don't hear themselves and no, they don't care. And by the way, the same guys who fly in the flip flops with the bare foot on the bulkhead, it's just, there is no self-awareness anymore. And that's why we need society to come down. But society is,
we're not interested.
Because we said no judging. Remember, you can't judge. And now there's this.
No filter.
I watch my son play basketball, and people are pretty good. My wife yells a lot more than I do. She's into it. She's like I said, the same thing will get you punched. It'll get you yelled at, too. It's like she's living it.
Yeah,
like
she's
in there and I'm just sitting there wanting my son to do well. And you'll say things like, oh, good hands or good dish or whatever. But I can't get sucked into it.
You don't do any of the, you call that a dot, dot, dot.
No, I know. It's weird. It's kind
of. You call that a double Bloody Mary? Basketball game going on?
It's kind of weird. It is kind of weird. It is kind of weird. And the dumber the person, the more yelling.
Yeah.
The dumber you are, the less you are aware of yourself in space and the less control you have over yourself. You can say whatever you want. You can call it passion. It's really just dumb. Yeah. You don't know where you are. Look, The ultimate version of this is a dog just licking its balls in front of the queen. Like, there's no different. Yeah. The human version of this is, you know, the cops got their guns out and you're still walking. Like, you're still moving toward them and you haven't put down the sprinkler key and they're screaming at you with their guns out. That's a kind of a stupid.
Sure.
That is reptilian. It's like yelling at an alligator, stop or I'll shoot you. That alligator just keeps moving toward you. It's a kind of a stupid, this inability to know where you are.
And what's going to get you killed.
It's like that thing where the person says, like, on the flight, you know, like, hey, look, I'll give you one more warning, then we're going to have to drag you off the flight. Bring it, come and bring it out, you know, yeah. Come on. And it's like, okay, here we go. I'm amazed that there's so many people that are that way. Mm-hmm. Where you just sort of tell them, here's what's going to happen. They go, that's fine by me.
Bring it.
And whatever's going to happen is really bad for them.
And then they become a national hero / victim because that's the part you see.
That doctor. I hope an alligator eats that asshole. Guy's such a colossal puss. God, that guy's the biggest piece of shit in the world, that doctor who was dragged off the plane. And the only bigger shits in the world are the people who have defended him. Look at him. They couldn't have done it any other. They asked him 20 times to get off the fucking plane, and he didn't. So they got his ass off the plane. Fuck all you pussies. It drives me insane. That guy's a piece of shit. And he got, I don't know, 2 million, 1.8 million. But he knew exactly what he was doing.
He'll be refereeing at the Women's Battle Royale.
Ooh, awesome.
He'll just be screaming incessantly.
Let me tell you about Geico over here. Yeah. You got your to-do list about your ad. Save hundreds of dollars your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. You go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. But that extra money in your pocket, the most rewarding thing you'll do all day. Go to Geico, geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, a new procedure called Gainswave zaps thousands of sound waves through a man's penis in order to improve blood flow. The therapy is available in a handful of practices in New York, several more nationwide. The sound wave pulses cause new blood vessels and nerve tissue to grow within the penis, enabling better blood flow and possibly improving tissue sensitivity. The FDA has yet to clear Gainswave, though it has approved the technology for other types of rehabilitation, such as plantar fasciitis and lateral epicondylitis.
It's
going
to lead to my new product, Beats by Off. Hey, where'd you get those cans? And why are they facing that direction? Don't worry about it, brother.
Just an animated fist.
The two animated fists, they slide in. They go the exact opposite of the ones that go in your head. They go north and south, and they come up from the bottom. That's right.
This is not covered by insurance. It'll cost about $3,000 and will require you to have between one session a week and, one session once a week for 6 to 12 weeks.
So you just put your junk in the Ricola horn and have the guy in the later hoser.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please. Yeah.
Is there any... are they saying what frequencies they're going to be playing?
I don't have information, but I'm sure you could do it from home.
Well, he's got a studio, and he's always looking to turn a buck.
Yeah, so a side hustle.
Yeah, this is good.
Can you feel the sound waves?
I haven't tried it myself, but I would imagine if it's a pulsing.
Yes, you can feel sound waves.
See, I should be able to feel it.
I would imagine you got to put your junk in the receptacle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the cups on the cans could be on your balls.
Well, like I said, we just turn them that. We turn them forward and bring them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to add on to your idea. I think we got something here.
You can just put your
really
penis
genius.
in the mic
and I work
protector.
The balance. You know what I mean? Like, right. I look a little more asshole. Yeah. You know what I mean? In the mix.
Less treble.
Mm-hmm. Get Ella Fitzgerald over there. Bust that glass. That's how you know you had a horrible childhood. The Memorex commercial where Ella Fitzgerald would shatter a wine glass. Like the most entertaining thing on TV for me. Like, Ella Fitzgerald. What about the Wally Thorpe School of Trucking? Well, that's good. That's good. But this is Ella Fitzgerald singing into a high note. You remember that one?
I don't remember that.
Well, I remember. Is it live? Is it Memorex? I don't remember that specifically, but it wasn't old enough.
She did a commercial where it's like, is it live, is it Memorex or whatever, and she like hit that high note and it like shattered a wine glass, although it was cooked.
Sure.
Well, come I don't on. Know. Like, you know, when you're nine and you're watching it or whatever it was, you think, that's Ella Fitzgerald. She's hitting that high note. Like, I don't know if you put it right next to the speaker or something. Yeah. But evidently it was cooked. Do you have that one? All right. I'll find that further.
1972.
I think she was scatting, too.
Ella Fitzgerald. Amplified voice.
It wasn't even timed right.
I remember going, that was awesome. It's an awesome piece of entertainment. Like, man, move over Super Bowl of motocross commercials and OCIR, Orange County International Raceway commercials. My thing was, I didn't go to any of the events, but I did see the commercials. There's a new leader in the clubhouse. It's Ella Fitzgerald breaking a glass.
What was the pitch like to Ella? And they're like, oh, they want me to feature my singing? What song shall I pick? Doesn't matter.
Just screech.
Just get some real high.
You just scat, hit a high note, and we got a guy light a firecracker in her wine glass. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Hey, man, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know, so check it out. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/M. All right, we told you where we are going to be. The podcast masterclass. Someone just tweeted me and said, Dawson's information was unbelievable. And then I said, I know, I was so impressed.
Yeah.
CorollaClass.com is where you go. Baldywood tomorrow. Louis Anderson tomorrow.
Ready Player One.
Oh!
Spielberg? Yeah.
That's right.
It
That's
is.
Right. Directed by the big book, big movie.
Yeah, that was a big deal in my house over the weekend. Because
it is up Sunny's alley.
Yeah.
But, doesn't mean it's good.
Mama bought tickets, and then I was like, I don't know. And then I checked it on Rotten Tomatoes, and
so it's 75 currently.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Lillian Garcia, the this Sunday, April 8th, on pay-per-view, Lillian's going to do the ring announce for the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And also Chasing Glory, the podcast, available on Apple and Podcast One. As well, you can go to our website, LillianGarcia.com, and listen to some music, too. Forgot about that. So, until next time, Adam Crowford, Joe Coy, Lillian Garcia, Gina Grad, Bald Ryan saying, mahalo.
Mira, no me mires mal. Yo te digo, oye.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Friday night, the Ace Man is in Madison, Wisconsin. Capitol Theater. Still a couple tickets left, so get yours. See you there Friday night. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for tickets and on everything, go to adamcarolla.com.